Yesterday, finally, Bernard Madoff was sentenced to the maximum term of 150 years. The hyperbole just continues. Largest Ponzi scheme in world financial history, probably one of the largest sentences that's ever been handed down in a case like this. Joining us now is Diana Enriquez, a senior financial writer for The New York Times, joining us from across the Hudson River there in New Jersey. Diana, we haven't spoken with you in a while.
Well, I've been a little busy. There's been a lot going on in the Madoff world.
I mean, this sentence certainly caps the personal story of Madoff, but the money and all the math still remains to be done. Where does that stand?
Well, it stands quite close to a critical deadline on Thursday. By Thursday, any Madoff victim, even if under current rules and regulations, they don't think that they're covered by the Securities Investors Protection Corp, should file by Thursday. That's an ironclad deadline. And if court decisions or congressional pressure or a change in the rules extends SIPC coverage to indirect investors through feeder funds, for example, and they haven't filed, that change in policy won't help them. So I know the trustee had been concerned through the fall in interviews I did with him, the SIPC trustee, that not enough people were submitting claims, sort of shrugging with the feeling that they wouldn't collect anything anyway. There is a maximum of $500,000 to the compensation that SIPC can provide, but anyone with a valid claim of more than that will be able to share in whatever assets the trustee can gather, and he is hard at work doing that. He's got a billion and a quarter already.
Well, that's a chunk of change, even in the Madoff world, you know.
Even in that world. Right. And he's sued for another $10.1 billion. Now, maybe he won't get all of it, but he's suing big hedge funds and banks and folks who have some assets. So he may get some of it.
Let's clarify the three revenue streams here, it seems, that the court and the trustee are ruling on. One is what you've talked about, the feeder funds, the sort of clawback where the money might be in places that are separate from the Madoff company itself. Whatever assets Madoff has, which is got to be pretty paltry at this point. And then there was also some discussion with victims on this program yesterday that tax liabilities, if people paid taxes on phantom income, the IRS is allowing them to get some of that money back. How are those three working out for victims?
Well, there's the third that includes the payment out of the bankruptcy court, which is not just through clawbacks but through SIPC. The tax issues. I have heard many people say that they think that that Shulman, the head of the IRS, is just twisted himself into a pretzel to try to take existing law and accommodate the Madoff victims to the greatest degree possible. There are some changes, for example, as many of these victims want, is a full theft loss reimbursement going back to the beginning of their investment. Now, right now, the tax code limits how many years you can go back. It would take an act of Congress to change that. That doesn't mean it can't be changed. In fact, one of the mysteries here, John, is the extent to which Congress, which, admittedly has had an awful lot on its plate, but I've heard from so many victims who wonder why Congress hasn't been more vigorous in practical ways. They've held hearings, of course, and they've yelled at the SEC and they've sent nasty letters, but in practical things that would actually help the victims, for example, perhaps raising the SIPC insurance limit from $500,000 to higher than that and making it retroactive for these victims, or changing the tax code so that they can retrieve more of the taxes they paid in the past on profits that actually were fictional, that they didn't actually get. So there are some practical things that could be done, but we're getting to the point now where something's going to have to act. All of the sort of easy things that could be done, the filing of the initial SIPC claims and the so forth, have been done. And now it gets down to people really working to try to ease the plight of these victims.
Diana, what is Madoff worth at this point, that one revenue stream of his assets, whether they be in a safe or in a Swiss bank account or Lord knows where else? What's he worth?
What he is worth is zero.
Zero, zero?
0.0. He has filed the judge made as part of his sentence made official a preliminary order that had been entered with the court on Friday night. And in that order, Madoff forfeited title to everything he owns. So you could say with pretty darn near accuracy that he doesn't own a pair of cufflinks anymore.
Well, I think my question real quickly was what he forfeited, what is it worth to the victims?
It's already in the count, unfortunately, John. They've known that those assets were going to be forfeited. So in the $1.25 billion that the trustee has already mapped out, they're including the assets that were retrieved from Madoff. I've heard estimates of about $100 million when you count savings that his wife had that are now been turned over. That was about $60 million.
A tiny fraction of $13 billion. That's for sure.
It is an amazing
garage sale by any standard, and zero for Bernie Madoff is pretty decent considering what liability he could have if he's liable for the whole $13 billion.
Diana, well, that's still an open question, John. Well, the restitution.
We will talk to you about it when the time comes after the July 2nd deadline. Diana Henriquez, senior financial writer for the New York Times, on the Madoff money, following the trail of money. Diana does it better than anyone else.